It's Thursday, October 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 711, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is also sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Now, with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution, get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com via, click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Kind of an interesting evening here, folks. We're definitely going to talk about Steve Jobs, but you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And, of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And, of course, you'll find over there, it's real simple to get subscribed to the show. Simply just, all you have to do, really, is click on the RSS feed or the iTunes icon or the Zune Marketplace icon right there in the second column of the website. That'll get you subscribed so you'll never miss a single show. Along with that, you'll definitely want to get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to be talking about today, and there's a link for that at geeknewscentral.com as well. Want to give a warm welcome to all of the Hana, all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show. And don't know about you, but I've been kind of almost felt semi-lost over the past 24 hours or so, and us geeks and tech community have lost someone very important to us. You know, as much bashing as I have done on both Mac and PC and talking about different things that have happened over the years, you never want to see anything like this happen to anyone. And for Steve Jobs to have, for a better word, left our company at such a young age is quite saddening. And considering what he has done and what he could have done, but we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a few seconds. But I want to, of course, remind you all that if you want to watch the show if you're checking the show out via download later, we're available on Samsung Smart TV via the Tech Podcast channel there. We're, of course, available on the Roku. We're on the Boxy. We're on a Looky TV. And, of course, just about every device that you possibly can consume the content on as well. And if you have comments on tonight's show, it's very simple to reach out to me. All you got to do is you can Twitter me at Geek News. You can follow me on Gmail+. Or you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And I think this is a good time for all of you to take a moment. And we're not going to belabor the passing of Steve Jobs a lot. But I think it's important that we all kind of reflect and give all of you an opportunity to call into the show. And on the next podcast, I'll play any comment that was made by you about Steve Jobs. We'll play those at the beginning of the show, just as kind of a way for you guys to express what you've been thinking of his passing. And I think it'd be a great way to, eulogize him here on the show. And I think you guys know that this business of podcasting, while it was definitely introduced by Adam Curry and the technology Dave Weiner put together. And I really, you know, I even in my book, Podcasting, the Do-It-Yourself Guide that I published in 2005, I give equal credit to both Dave and to Adam on the introduction of podcasting. They both had a hand in it. But I think we will all agree that in July of 2005, when Apple basically brought podcasting into iTunes, it changed the landscape. And, you know, many times I talked about in this show that it didn't necessarily change it for the better for everyone. It commercialized it very quickly. And there was a lot of innovation that stopped because everyone could now get their podcast fix via iTunes. And luckily now, you know, we're in a position where this media has really gone beyond the iPod. But if we had not had the iPod, the iTouch, the iPhone, the iPad, if we had not had those devices, this media or medium would have not revolutionized or evolutionized the way it did. You know, the power to pick up your iPhone and have your music and your podcast entertainment with you was remarkable when we started this in 2004. And, you know, since that time, you know, I've been lucky to devote a big portion of my life to the betterment of this space, working now with a little over 9,500 content creators worldwide. And, you know, it's a humbling experience to be able to have a little bit of part in a meme that one thing's for sure is the hand of Steve Jobs was directly responsible for. What you see here in this studio and the lifestyle and the lifestyle I'm able to maintain and the ability to freely come to you was largely, you know, based upon the vision of the Apple team and what, you know, Steve Jobs put together as the way forward. And that consumes this type of content understand that very well, especially for those of you that have been with this show since day one. Sure, we had lots of applications early in the days where you could get it into a variety of MP3 devices, but none of them were as cool, as sexy, as well-received as, you know, the Apple line of products. And let's just, you know, let's tell it the way it is. Now, today, you know, looking, and I actually kind of did a little bit of research today. I was looking at our stats at Raw Voice. And I think that, you know, probably on an average show, and I basically looked at about 50 shows. For an average show, they probably have 50 or 60 percent of the download market. And that's a significant amount. And for this show, I think we're a very small percentage is iTunes because they're you're all consuming this content on so many different devices. But the important thing is that you're able to. And one thing I'm looking here, I want to check and make sure the stream is okay, because I'm seeing some weird stuff on my playback. Is the stream? I'm typing sideways here. Is the stream okay? So someone will respond to me. So just look at the consumption, and you know, many of you have got Androids in your pockets, or you've got an iPhone, or you've got a different, maybe a different type of device. But I think for the large majority of you, you started consuming this content on an Apple product. While this production is primarily done on a Windows machine, the post production, all that's done on a Mac. And when I travel with a PC and a Mac. And in the early days, I was all PC, but you know, later on started using Apple products, and have little by little used them more and more. And I know some of you are all Mac or some of you are all PC, but at this point in time in the game, I don't think it really matters, does it? But there's a lot of stuff that was put out by a lot of people, and it just keeps pouring in. I think the best thing I saw that it really kind of summed it up was O'Malley said, and of course, a lot of people in Silicon Valley were close to Steve Jobs and had, you know, business dealings with him and were friends growing up. You know, my exposure to him was a single, I did talk to Steve Jobs one time, and it's kind of a funny story on how that happened, but that was in the early days of podcasting, and it was a very short phone call, something I haven't talked a lot about with. I've talked about two with close friends, but I've lost my train of thought here, but anyway, what O'Malley said was, he says, and this is directly after the news came out, he was basically staring at his computer screen, dumbfounded, in a state of shock. And what he wrote is, I've just lost my Elvis. And for any of you that were big Elvis fans, when Elvis died, you know, people are, you know, went into a state of shock and broke down. And so there was a lot of people across the world last night crying for the loss of Steve Jobs because they had lost their Elvis. And for a geek, you know, I think it equals, you know, you look at the people that have shaped this industry. You look at Bill Gates. You look at Larry Ellison. You look at all these big names that have shaped what we do and what we use on a daily basis. And for those of us that are techno heads, you know, you say what you must, agree with their product, disagree, whatever it is. But these are people that have changed our lives. And my wife and I were talking about it in the car today. And, you know, she says, you know, you look at what I do. I'm using my iPad. I communicate a lot better with a lot of my friends. I use technology where I didn't use it before, because it was too intimidating to me. And the iPad for her has opened up a whole new world, and it's not too complicated, and she's not super technical, but it gives her the ability to do a lot of things that she hadn't. And for her, her life has been positively influenced because of that particular product. You know, you look at the phones that we carry, and you look at where we've come from that initial announcement, what is it now, 5 years ago, with the introduction of the iPhone. And, you know, everyone was astonished, and it changed everything. So I guess we're just going to have to see how things go with Apple. And, of course, my heart goes out to the family and, of course, to the Apple employees. And I just can't imagine what it was like for them today coming to work. You know, and here I am, you know, very far removed from this whole thing. And I'm kind of having like a, to be honest with you, had a shitty day. And it was, you know, why? Well, I guess, you know, it's just top of mind. And, but I think, you know, as watching some of the commentary yesterday, for sure, you know, we don't want to, you know, I like to use the analogy, we need to celebrate people's lives because, you know, the man was remarkable. And what he has put in place is setting the future, you know, shaping the future. And for the number of years that he was on earth, my God, he gave it his all, 150% all the time. And you know, people can say what they will say about his management style or whatever, but he got a lot of stuff done. And, and he had his failures too. So I think we all can appreciate that because I think we all have our ups and downs in life and we go through struggles and we, you know, maybe get promoted or we get demoted or whatever it may be. We all have these challenges, but it just goes to show you that you can make a significant contribution to the world and go out proud. And with your held high and leave a legacy. Now, when I got hurt in 2004 and was laying on a hospital bed and basically knowing that I had missed the, I guess for a better word, the knife in my spine that, well, for those of you that have been around, doctors called me a three percenter. 97% of the people that had the injury that I had and the severity of it was, you know, were wheelchair bound for the rest of their lives. And I was a 3%er and I got a second chance and really no super long lasting effects. While I have my minor issues, you know what? When I came out of that, I decided that, hey, I'm going to have, you know, it changed my outlook. And I think anyone that's been through anything traumatic in their lives, whether it be a close call with death, a health issue, something happening to a love, you know, there's all these things that tweak us as we move along and where we go right and we go left. And I definitely did a right turn at that point and really decided that that I was going to make a difference. And, I kind of found my calling with this media. And, you know, I'm not the most successful guy at it. I don't have the biggest audience. I don't care to have the biggest audience. You that listen, and those that you watch. But the main thing is I want to make sure that we work with, we do our best day after day to take care of them and try to put dollars in their pockets. And I try to keep my employees employed. And, you know, it's not an easy gig at all, especially when we've done it without any type of venture capital. We've done it out of our back pockets and sweat equity and part-timers and the whole nine yards. But anyway, it is what it is. We'll talk about more about Steve here in a second. But this show, of course, as always, is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. And I want to encourage you to definitely check GoDaddy out. I've got a cool offering this month, and I don't have any of this stuff prepped. Let me bring this page up for you to check out. We've got this online file folder special, and this is a cool deal. You basically can get your own online storage, and what a better way to back up and share your files, and this is a great deal. And over the next 2 weeks, GoDaddy is offering this to you at a much reduced price, $1.99, if you pick up a 12-month or longer subscription. All you do is use the promo code GEEKFILE. But when you go over to GoDaddy.com, it'll have a list of all the different features, how you use it, and basically everything that's involved. And you'll see that there's two prices on the website, $1.99 for economy, $2.49 for deluxe. And if you use GEEKFILE as a promo code, when you check out on the deluxe plan, you're going to get it for $1.99 as long as you sign up for 12 months. And I've been playing around with it a little bit, uploading via FTP, been doing some file synchronization, accessing via my iPhone. It's been pretty cool. Pretty cool product. And I'm going to do a little product demo on it for you so that you can see it. And it has a lot of comparable features to other companies. Matter of fact, it has comparable features to one of the sponsors we had a month or so ago. But they all have their own plus and minuses. But what I like about this one, it's available anywhere, you know, and you can get access to it real easy. And my wife has access to it. She can get access to some of the files we have that she needs as well. But as well with that, if you don't pick up that product, I got other codes for you. You'll find those codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, big time thank you for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, supporting the show. I got a loaded document. I'm going to look through my notes here. And yes, there and there. And it tells you how organized I was tonight. Not very, obviously. All right, here we go. Let me load that. So I guess in the rest of my stack of stuff here, just want to share that, you know, I was sitting here working on the 7th Annual Podcast Award nominee slate. And we were getting submissions in from listeners of this show and other podcasts. I mean, other listeners that have volunteered to do reviews when the word came in for of Steve's death. And I mean, I didn't get any more done. I was done for the day. Stuck a fork in me right there. You know, it was about 4 PM here. And, you know, we've got the slate almost locked in and we'll be announcing it on Saturday. There'll be some updates on the podcastawards.com website. So we hope you'll come out and watch the slate announcement. But it really just was kind of like, well, stick a fork in me. I'm done for the rest of the day. And, but, you know, we're going to continue to move forward here with that. And at the same time, I've been trying to be on a semi-vacation. My kids are off school this week, so I'm trying to take as much time off and spend with them. So we were out with them all day today. And that actually was them riding around with my wife and I doing some shopping and picking up some stuff for the house. So I don't know how much of a vacation it was for them, but at least I was off and kind of not working so much. But one thing I tried on the last show, you guys will probably have noticed this already, is I dropped a QRC code onto the website. And I want to show you this in the screen. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be playing around with this a little bit. And if nothing else, I'm going to be putting up QRC codes from time to time as we'll probably do some contest. We may send you off to a special site from time to time. The one today works the best with the iPhone. And if you just snap an image of it, you'll be able to, it'll take you to a page. And I hope that you'll be appreciative of that page that I send you to. But I'm just going to have a little fun with these. We'll have those dropped in the show notes from time to time. So definitely keep an eye out for them as they appear and on the website as well. And give you some, we'll do something here soon where we'll drop one on there, not say anything, and maybe it'll lead to a giveaway or something. All right. Okay, what else in my stack here? Hey, Gadget Professor, a new edition of the Gadget Professor was put out today. Need to talk with Langley and find out what's going on with Robot Underpants and to see if he is actually going to continue with the show or not. Well, in that way, I'll know whether or not I need to find a replacement for him. I thought he was going to continue, but did not see a new show out this week. So I'm going to get the word on him from him on what's really going on. Also, one last thing I want to do is I want to work on a new intro script for the show. And I don't want to change the video so much, but if someone's got some ideas on how to kick up the intro script a little bit, drop me a line and if we think we need to refresh that or freshen that up a little bit, let me know. And I think it's a good time to maybe just do a little bit of experimentation with that. And we're always looking for submissions. If you guys are feeling creative and want to try to put together a video intro, I'd be always willing to give that a try. I love the one that we have right now. It's a great intro, but always looking to kick it up a notch. Anything we do, we want to make sure it's 16:9 because we're all HD here now on the studio. And the intro is actually in SD, so it's a 4:3. So that's why it always squints down when it starts. So let's go ahead and get into some of the content here. A lot of it in the beginning of the show is obviously going to be Steve Jobs related. And, you know, I don't want to really go all show. I've got regular content for you, but I'm just going to kind of talk about this at the beginning. One thing is you've all seen I'm sure you've been watching the videos and stuff that are out there, but there's a never before aired advertisement that was done in the early days. And most of you had heard the narration of "Here's to the Crazy Ones" from Richard Dreyfuss. He was the one that did the original one. But did you know there was one that was actually done by Steve Jobs? Let me get this up. I'm going to play this, and if you've heard it before, you know, and I'm sure you've listened to it two or three times already. You've probably seen it on websites, but I don't know if you've actually seen this one. And of course, I'll have a link up in the show notes for those of you that are just listening in instead of viewing. So let me go ahead and kick this over and expand that. Oops.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Okay, well, it's nice. Nice to hear that in Steve's voice instead of in Richard Dreyfuss' voice. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's definitely got some different characters in there than what you've seen. Gizmodo did one where they had it all Steve Jobs, which was kind of cool. One thing I thought was nice of the folks over at Microsoft, and someone snapped a picture of this today over on the Microsoft campus. Let me bring this up, see if I can get this blown up for you. Let me bring this on. The Microsoft flag at half staff, which is nice of Microsoft to show that gesture. And then there's a great article that Robert Scoble put up, and I want to show you this this picture. Let me load it here and see if I can blow the picture up. It shows Steve Jobs touching his forehead to his wife's face. And this happened after, I guess, the last keynote that he did at the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference this past June. And, you know, this guy has known, you know, Steve has known for a while that, you know, all the reports coming out that the time was drawing near. And, you to think that, you know, he continued working right up until, you know, the end of August is pretty remarkable. And it just shows you the dedication he had to wanting to make sure his stuff and his life was in order. But you think about his now widow, Lorene Powell Jobs, who is now basically in control of the fortune that he amassed. I think $6.5 billion is what they're saying. You know, now, you know, she's obviously going to go through the process that any wife does with the loss of a loved one or of the significant other, and the kids are going to go through that process. And I hope the press leaves them the hell alone. I hope that people stay out of their hair and gives them the space that they need, and then we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see what she does or what she doesn't do. Knowing how private the family has been up to this point is it's hard to say. And she may be more like her husband than we know, but time will tell. Now, one thing is coming out now too is in the past couple of months, there was heavy security around the Jobs home. And there was some interesting articles, and we'll have them linked up in the show notes for you, about friends, people that has known him over the years that really kind of figured out that this day was coming rapidly and had been trying to get in to see Steve over the past couple of months. And I guess his wife really stepped in over the last couple of weeks and just shut everybody down and turned a lot of people away to the point of telling people never to call again. I guess there were some people that were doing a little over the top trying to get in to see him. But good on her for protecting him and maintaining his wishes. And instead of there being this parade of people through, that's the last thing you want to do. You know, you got your friends and people that you worked with, and, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, it's just like any other conversation you have with someone. You know, when you have a conversation with someone, you should always leave that conversation, you know, considering it could be the last, and leave on good terms and show appreciation every time you talk to somebody. So we'll see where this goes with her and how she does and with the kids. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how old his kids are. I've never dug into his life that deep, but considering he's 56, you know, the kids are probably grown. And was 56. His kids are grown, but time will tell how this turns out. Actually, I'm gonna drop this article down later. I think the Onion. You know, okay. Fair warning here. I'm gonna go against a little protocol tonight from how the show is normally done. I think you guys have already noticed that from the get-go here. But the Onion has a title to an article that I, you know, you got to smile a little bit with the, you know, with the sorrow. And here's how the Onion titled it. And again, if you have kids that are listening to this, I apologize in advance. He says, the Onion says, last American who knew what the fuck he was doing dies. And he says, they say in the article, Steve Jobs, a visionary co-founder of Apple Computers and the only American in the country who had any clue what the beep was going, what he was doing, died Wednesday at the age of 56. And then they get a little serious. We haven't lost a great innovator. We haven't just lost a great innovator, leader, and businessman. We've literally lost the only person in this country who actually had his beep together and knew beep what was going on. And of course, a lot of people weighed in, including the president. And let's see if I can find the mention from the president. I thought I had that stacked next. I don't. But I'll get to the president's comments in a moment when I get to that article. But CNN was on 5 a.m. Pacific time this morning and talking to Woz. And Woz made the rounds on AP and everyone else. I can't play this because of copyright issues. But so I have this link up in the show notes for you. But, you know, Woz, you can tell he is as affected as everyone else and probably more so. And they had a great interview with CNN, a great one with AP. They all had their little nuances of what they brought out. So I have that linked in the show notes for you to check out and watch. The one night, it's a good one. And they didn't rush Woz at all. I think they took 10 or 12 minutes. But I have the link up to it. And one thing that's good is CNN hasn't put a doggone ad in front of it yet. At least they had a little bit of couth and didn't do that. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for that. And also, if you haven't seen the Stanford University commencement address that he made in 2005, you know, that's a must watch and listen. And, you know, show this to your kids, too. And, you know, my kids were up to speed. My kids came home and yesterday and said, Dad, did you hear? And I'm like, yes, I heard. And so, you know, even my kids were dialed in. So that's how fast the news spread. I like what Dan Gilmore says over on the guardian.co.uk. He says in the first sentence, and this really kind of sums it up, and let me put this up for you guys that are watching. He says, when historians look back at the life of Steve Jobs, they will chronicle a man of contradiction and genius. But for the legions of Apple fans, it's personal. And, you know, you cannot say that any deeper. You know, I've always teased the fanboys. You know, I've always teased the fanboys about drinking the Kool-Aid. And, you know, sometimes you gotta look yourself in the mirror a little bit. Okay. So we're self-reflecting, right? So I think I've become a little bit of a fanboy. And I know some of you that are Windows users, hardcore Windows users, you're kind of like, huh? What did he just say? Now, I won't go so far as to say that I drink the Kool-Aid. All right, I will say that I'm a little bit of a fanboy. But it's true. You know, this whole event's been personal. And you know, he took this company from you know, he rose it with, you know, the Apple I, Apple II. And, you know, I remember back, here's a little history lesson for you. In 84, when I joined the Navy in 1983. And then for my first 3-4 years in the Navy, really my exposure to anything that was PC-like was VAX VMS. Big drums, big mainframes, working on tiny screens. I went away from that, and then I went off and did an advanced school, and then I really didn't have a lot of need to be on a computer. There just wasn't a lot. But although I was dabbling, and I had around that time in 91 to 94 range, I think I was getting ready. Actually, what year did I start my PBS? 84, 87, 88 to, 91, 92 time frame, I think, is the year. I may be off a little bit, so don't hold me to this. But I started my PBS 91, 92 with a Commodore Colt 8086 processor, and I think I had a 1200, 2400 baud modem with a 67 meg RLL hard drive in it. But anyway, so when I came back, when I went to back to Guam for my second tour, I was and went through training, and I was an instructor. So the first thing I did when I checked into the command is I got assigned doing drawings, and basically, I got very good at doing drawings on, and I can't remember what was the name of the program. Was it Paint or something? I can't even remember the name of the program that we used. I believe it was on an Apple II. And I think when was I exposed to Macs or an Apple for the first time? It was probably in high school. So I hadn't had, it was quite a period there that I hadn't had much exposure to it. But these were older machines by then. And so I got very good at that and wrote a lot of, we did everything on Macs for building lesson plans out. And we had some IBM PCs in the office, I remember. But I think we were using WordPerfect then. Was that, maybe that was same time frame? And then that, of course, was on the PC side. And now, boy, how that sucked using that in those days. So, you know, if I think back, you know, I had exposure to both systems early on and then really kind of got locked into the PC side largely because of my BBS stuff. You know, BBSs didn't run on Apple computers. They, at least none that I knew did. There was a few that run on Commodores, straight up Commodore operating system ones. And of course, the Commodore Colt that I had was a MS-DOS version. But the, for some of you, your experiences with Apple go way, way back, and you went through the pain years when the products weren't so great. But I think Dan Gilmore says it right. It's a personal thing. And many of you, that are longtime fanboys, and we'll say that in a nice term, this is a personal event for you. Jake Ludington does, and I never cover anything that he writes because it's all about some of the stuff Jake does is pretty personal. I mean, pretty promotional. But Jake writes a website called ifoapplestore.com, and I've got it in my read list, but nothing ever seems to come up that really interests me. And he's got a picture of and a write-up of his encounter with Steve a number of years ago when they were first starting to open Apple stores. And he's got this great picture, and he explains the whole process. But the gist of it is, he took this picture moments before Steve came over and told him, no pictures. And you can see Steve sizing him up. And, you know, it's very obvious that he's going to come over, he's going to go over and he's like, why are you taking pictures in my store? That's the look he's giving him. And he's looking directly into the camera lens. It's a great picture. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can definitely check it out. Over on technologizer.com, they've got a YouTube video. I won't play. It's 4 minutes and 54 seconds long. It's a YouTube video that the Apple employees put together when he was 30. And it's basically his 30th birthday present from company employees. Pretty cool little video. And it shows a lot of stuff there that is, it'll make all of you kind of smile. And it really goes back and shows the long hair days, for a better word. And I think the folks over at Web Designer Depot really, I think they know as much as the rest of us do. You know, he was a designer and definitely very creative, and he knew how things wanted to look. And he got some great pictures here and subtitles under all of this stuff and discussion, basically these great photos. And here's a great one between him and Bill Gates. You can tell they're deep in thought, figuring out which one of them is going to, win the battle, I guess, for better words. And then some pictures of him later in life. And, but anyway, links are up in the show notes for this. You can check all these out. And of course, it's got all basically all these quotes that Steve made. And I think these are great. And a lot of things there, the takeaways. There's going to be posters and all kinds of stuff made. And they're gonna idolize him in many, many ways. And some people are even trying to make money off him already, which is thoroughly disgusting. It really, really is. The folks over at Mint Digital, tore down a MacBook Pro and made a portrait out of the parts. And I thought that was pretty cool. So let me bring this up here. For those of you that are watching, you can see this. And so you see basically all the parts, the hard drive broke down, the motherboard, fan, all this stuff. They did a nice job on this. I don't know if they did any cutting or anything, but pretty cool picture. And took a MacBook Pro and again turned it into a portrait of Steve, which is pretty cool. Dave Weiner over at scripting.com, he has a good write-up about his interactions with Steve from back in the early 80s, 1983, 84, to be specific, and talks about some of the stuff and his interactions with Steve, actually more with Apple, less than, because he didn't have too many direct interactions with Steve Jobs at all. But, you know, all the geeks are doing cool things. You know, instead of taking a regular candle and holding a candle up, they're holding their iPads up with candles. And that's pretty nice. So a great way to show your support, I guess. There's a friend of Steve's named Larry Brilliant, who's known him for 35 years, and he's never written anything in depth about Steve. And it just basically is he just didn't write anything. And he's a technology writer. But he did do a, Steve later, earlier this year, said that gave him permission to start doing some writing about him, and he's done some articles. So found that over at the LA Times. So any of you that get the LA Times, you may have seen some of the stuff that that he's put up. Gizmodo, the tribute video Gizmodo did's awesome. It's along the same tones as some of the other videos, but you'll definitely want to check their story out. And, you know, Gizmodo, there's a lot of discussions. You know, obviously Gizmodo made Steve specifically very unhappy with the iPhone 4 scoop. And so there's been a lot of stuff that's come out about that and discussions that some of the Gizmodo writers have had. And it's, you know, there's some real eye-opening stuff there. And, you know, how they admitted that they probably should have done a few things differently than they did. And but anyway, it is a it's some of it's like kind of wow, woo, and some people coming to Jesus and having asked for forgiveness before, and which is kind of interesting. Doc Serlini, this is what's nice. Well, it's not nice, but what's kind of cool is you've got all these folks in Silicon Valley who have known him for years and maybe worked with him for a little bit on a project here and there, and all these sub stories are starting to come out that none of us have ever had any insight into. But, you know, we're starting to see stuff that's coming to light that now that people are, you know, basically free to talk and able to share things. And they're sharing some very intimate, deep topics that you read it like, wow, you know, and his book that's going to be coming out and the biography that was written is going to be amazing. I pre-ordered it already. I want a hardbound edition. I don't buy too many hardbound editions. I've got maybe 50 that I've collected over the past 10 or 15 years, maybe 20 years. But this book, I want a hardbound copy of it. I'm definitely going to get it. I probably won't even open it. I'll read the digital version of it, but I've already ordered that on Amazon. And that should be very insightful because from what everybody's saying, it's going to be a really inside look at his life, his thought process, everything. So I'm going to encourage all of you to pick it up. I think it's probably one of those reads. You know, some books stick out in my life that I've read. Chuck Yeager, The Right Stuff. Some self-help books. You know, all these books that are kind of on top tier stuff for my generation. And this is going to be, you know, a Bill Gates biography is one that I was fascinated with. And Kevin Mitnick and his hacking days and some of that's those. And I don't have that as a hard copy anymore, but books like that, this is going to be a great one. It really is. And definitely pre-order it. Now, Guy Kawasaki was an early guy at Apple. And he was getting ready to, and of course, if you don't know Guy, then you're not just Googling. He's the ultimate, he's definitely the ultimate geek. And I'm sure appears to be very wealthy. And I don't know how much money he made from being an early Apple employee. But he was getting ready to do a discussion on socialmediaexaminer.com's Facebook Success Summit. And he was actually going to talk about how to use Facebook to enchant your customers and prospects. But just moments before he was going to go on to do this webinar, the announcement came out. So he spent an hour reflecting and talking about Steve Jobs. This one is on Vimeo. And I'll have the link up to this. You got to watch this. You have to watch about this. And it's good. It's really good. And just, man, some amazing nuggets there. And as people kind of share and talk about stuff. Now, there's a lot of people that have photographers, or actually professionals that have taken photos of Steve throughout the years. And over at lightbox.time.com, one of the time.com reporters who was had been in and photographed Steve a number of times in the early years. This is just a cool image. And what it is, it shows Steve Jobs lying on the floor after a long day. Jobs is finalizing a deal with Bill Gates over the phone where Microsoft would purchase $150 million worth of Apple stock. And this was taken by Diana Walker. She was she was Time's White House photographer over 20 years and taking pictures of presidents and so forth. But she got this really great one of Steve, and the backstory is in there about this as well. But imagine, you know, you're laying on the floor talking to Bill Gates. Only Steve Jobs. There's just, you know, the rest of us would be like sitting in our chairs at attention, right? But here's what the president had to say. The president and First Lady Michelle Obama have reacted on the passing. And in a statement, he says, "Michelle and I are saddened to learn of the passing of Steve Jobs. Steve was among the greatest American innovators, brave enough to walk, think differently, bold enough to believe he could change the world, and talented enough to do it by building one of the planet's most successful companies from his garage. He exemplified the spirit of American ingenuity by making computers personal and putting the internet in our pockets. He made the information revolution not only accessible, but intuitive and fun. And by turning his talents to storytelling, he has brought joy to millions of children and grown-ups alike. Steve was fond of saying that he lived every day like it was his last, because he did. He transformed our lives, redefined entire industries, and achieved one of the rarest feats in human history. He changed the way each of us sees the world. The world has lost a visionary, and there may be no greater tribute to Steve's success than the fact that much of the world learned of his passing on a device he invented. Michelle and I send our thoughts and prayers to Steve's wife, Laureen, his family, and all those who loved him." So I thought that was very nice of the president and the first lady to send out and make a statement like that. That was very good. But one thing that stuck with me here, and I've just got a few more things before we'll go into regular tech. And this is appropriately titled, "One More Thing." This is I don't know this guy's name. It's at eastwick.com. This guy started working at Apple in 1981. He was there for a decade. And when he arrived to work, one thing that was printed out, and he doesn't have the exact words, but I think this is pretty remarkable. And actually, I'm going to steal this and use this with my team. This is something that was required to be on every employee's in their cubicle somewhere where they could see it every day. And it was about visualization. I think we all can do that. If we want a new car, you visualize it, put it on your bathroom window. You know, if you, you know, whatever you want, you got to visualize it and, you know what it really is that you're working for. And this is what it said. "How is the decision you're making right now helping us to ship the greatest personal computer the world has ever known on January 24th, 1984. Now, this guy was arriving at work in 1981. And this 8.5 by 11 sheet was, this is, you know, the guy's thinking 3 years ahead. All right. 81 to 84. How is your decision you're making right now helping us to ship the greatest personal computer the world has ever known on January 24th, 1984? Now, you can change that up and say, could be anything for your company. How is your decision right now? How is the decision you're making right now helping us launch Q2.com on October date 2011. You know, so this is, you know, because we're getting ready to launch CUE2U.com. It's going to be our premium content service. And we've been a little slow getting it out the door. But, you know, I think this is a great thing. I have to send this tomorrow to all the guys saying, how is your decision? And we'll have to start doing this for other things too. But I thought it was fun. Now, Steve was always about minimalistic in style. And the folks over at Google did something extraordinary. And they put on their Google.com website, underneath the, at the bottom of the page, Steve Jobs, 1995-2011. And one of the things I was showing pre-show today, and playing a little Hawaiian music for those of you that were not listening to the pre-show or watching the pre-show, was I had this great graphic that I don't know who to give this credit to, but this was made, the original image was by Jonathan Mack, M-A-K, and he put this up on Tumblr, but this really is a cool thing. Instead of the bite out of Apple, you see the face of Steve Jobs. So I have that up there. Of course, this is up on Google Plus. This is where I pulled it from. But that really sums it up. And it's, you know, got it right up here on the website, as well as, you know, the kind of the way to really symbolize what's going on. And, you know, and Steve, and I don't know a lot about Steve's religion. I think he was a Buddhist. I think, but, you know, if there is an afterlife, if there is a place we all go, one thing's for doggone sure, when we all get there, we're going to have iPhones, we're going to be connected in different ways, everything's going to be reorganized, you know, he's definitely going to be on the design team of anything that is, in the hereafter. You know, he's not going to be in charge, but he's going to definitely be on the design team. So anyway, just kind of funny. All right, that's it. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on the passing of Steve Jobs. I know I've spent a lot of time on this, and I want to thank you for letting me indulge, but I really just did not know how to go through this, you know, without, and I just had to spend time on it. And 711 shows. I think this is the most I've ever spent on one specific topic ever. But, and I think it's important that we've all taken the time. And and if you're sick of hearing about this stuff, tough. it's just my way of getting it off my chest as well. And I hope you guys appreciate it. And, you know, all these great people that did a lot of great commentary is awesome. But I want to hear your thoughts. And again, we'll play them at the beginning of the next show. So, of course, that'll be Monday night. And take a few moments and think about what you're going to say and call in and give me 2, 3 minutes of your thoughts at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Matter of fact, right now, go ahead and pause the show if you're listening post-show and dial that number. And tell me what you think. I really want to hear from you and get feedback from you, Hannah. And it's a way for you to express what you think and a way to talk through. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here. And let's see here. I want to make sure. Yeah, I've got everything covered on that. And I got a bunch of stuff here too. We believe I'm only halfway through my stack. We're never going to make it to the end with me getting through all this, but how many of you are using Clout, Clout.com? And no, this show is live for those of you that are watching. It's 2100 here. So 21 here. So for those of you that wanted to know, and a reason it's live is because I'm in Hawaii. So this is live. All right. So let's talk about, and what is time does the clock in the back say? It may be off a little bit. I'll wait till it comes up. But how many are using Clout? Well, there's a great article on elevatelocal.co.uk that it looks to me like Clout can be gamed big time. And this is pretty disturbing. You know, everyone's, hey, are you on Clout? What's your number? And I think my number's like 57 or something like that. And how they get that number, I have no clue. Well, I think a lot of people are also asking the same question. How in the world are they getting this info? And so this guy did some research and looking at some profiles that were really nothing and said, yeah, this is a bunch of horse crap. And it's he's got two separate articles about how the Clout ranking really means nothing. And, you know, one of the examples he gives is, who would you think would have more clout? The person called Evan Williams. Now, most of you should know who Evan Williams is, right? Or Joe Fernandez. Now, who is Joe Fernandez? No, I've never heard of Joe Fernandez. He did a little poll to figure out who between Evan Williams and who Joe Fernandez was, who would have more clout. Well, Evan Williams got 92% of the vote and Joe Fernandez got 8%. But yet, Joe Fernandez's clout is a 72%. And Evan Williams, one of the most biggest thought leaders in the country, was 66. And to those of you who didn't know who Evan Williams is, he's the co-founder of Twitter. All right? Blogger. Does Edmund sound anything? Yeah, that Evan Williams. And, you know, that guy should have a score of like 99, not a 66. But this Joe Fernandez has 72. And he goes into all these other things about someone that has no followers, has done two tweets. His at sign is at MI, and he's got a clout of 73. Huh? How's that possible? So it just goes, you know, there's two full articles here that talks about how in companies like Audi, are putting big money in a hotel in Vegas, are doing all these big campaigns. You come in and they look you up, look your clout score up, and it depends on how they're going to treat you and what amenities you're going to get by your clout score. And this clout score means nothing. Someone needs to just, if you got a company that's looking to do any type of promotions with clout, you need to talk to them and say, you need to read these two articles. They got to get this fixed, or companies are going to run. They're just going to run. And, but again, some brands are using Clout to measure user influence and based on certain thresholds of keys of their K-score, they offer perks or in some cases, coupon codes. And a few months ago, Clout teamed up with Inviler to create a Clout-based application for social media marketing on Facebook. So they're using brands or spending money to promote to people that who may have a lot of clout that have no clout. So, you know, if you can, here's this one that's funny. Again, this person that has zero following, zero followers, zero listed, no other records of this person whatsoever, and they've got a clout score of 73. Here's another one that, is an interesting one. You've got someone called the Bora Collective. How many tweets have they got? Bora Collective follows 46 Twitter profiles, has 104 followers and is listed 6 times. And the tweet that's been put out that they've used again and again and again is you will be assimilated. You'll be assimilated. You'll be assimilated. That's what they put on Twitter. Every tweet that they've sent has been said, you will be assimilated. Yet they've got a clout of 57. Boy, they're influencing a lot of people. This is a real effective service. And obviously, in my opinion, they got a lot of explaining to do. And he goes into deep how it can be gamed very easily as well. Not to say that these accounts were game, but he was just doing research on people's clout scores. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for this, to these two separate articles. It's also being reported that Microsoft is considered bidding for Yahoo. So I don't think that should come as a surprise. You know, they tried to buy him once. Not surprised they're trying to buy him again. We'll see if that happens. Great article over on BBC. It's in their news and health section, talking about cloning makes human stem cell. So that's kind of interesting. A new form of cloning has been used to create personalized embryonic stem cells in humans. So that's pretty good, taking genetic material from the skin and then transfer it into a human egg, and it was grown in to produce an early embryo, which is interesting. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. Got a real exciting one for those of you that are diabetics. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes, so don't leave if you're a diabetic. The Pirate Bay has added domains to bypass court order. So what's happening here is, this is kind of funny, the Antwerp court in Belgium ordered Belgian ISPs to initiate DNS blockades of 11 domains connected with the Pirate Bay within 14 days or face fines. So they came up with this list of domain names to block and reroute. So what did Pirate Bay do? They went out and bought a new domain. It's not in the court order. And they've used some tools that are out there already that people are using with browsers and so forth to redirect them. So now there's a new domain, a BE domain, and I'm sure this will probably get added to order at some point. But people in Belgium are still going to be able to get to the Pirate Bay no matter what, and just made this work for the court, you know, whatever. It wasn't effective. So we'll see where this battle goes. Delta is going to be offering free Wi-Fi. And this is an interesting move by Delta. So if you are, you know, you fly with Delta, Delta Airlines is going to give you your Wi-Fi for free. And basically, they've got a dual purpose here. They want to make money from the activities people engage in once they are connected, and to encourage people to sign up for the pay for access account. But they're going to have it available. And they have a Delta Connect portal. And you're going to be able to do, I don't know if they're going to let you go beyond that. I hope they do. If nothing else, it's just a one big advertisement. But Delta's launched the entertainment system on all 16 of its Boeing 757s, and they're upgrading some other aircraft as well. So that's not a big portion of their fleet, but I guess if you get on one of those, you'll have free Wi-Fi access. If you live in California, of course, this applies if you live in Michigan already, because Michigan police have been doing this. And also, this applies to the people that live in Florida and Georgia. But California appeals court approves cell phone searches during traffic stops. So this could head to a higher court, I'm sure. But now, if you are stopped for an infraction, it doesn't matter what that infraction is. The law enforcement agency can examine your cell phone without a warrant. So if you're pulled over for speeding, you can have your phone inspected, and they can search it, download it. They can determine whether or not you've done any illicit activities, like texting someone about drugs or something like that. And that's what this court battle was all about initially, because an individual was pulled over by Santa Cruz County, a county deputy sheriff, and he suspected the person was under the influence of drugs. And when he looked through his phone, he'd just seen that he'd just done a drug buy. So it was basically that was upheld. So now in California, don't be surprised if they ask for your cell phone, okay? All right, the new Samsung Galaxy Nexus specs have been leaked, and Samsung is getting ready to do a big launch next week of the new Samsung Galaxy Nexus. We think this is going to be a Google-only phone. In other words, it's going to be Google-controlled, not carrier-controlled, which is going to be awesome for those of you that are waiting for the new that love the Nexus Prime. So what you're going to have is purportedly you're going to have a 4.65-inch Super AMOLED HD display. You're going to get a dual-core processor, an 8-megapixel camera. There's going to be a huge battery in this thing, too, capable of carrying the power and handling LTE, CDMA, or GSM networks. So apparently there's going to be a HD camera as well. Wi-Fi, A, B, G, and N, potential NFC as well. So a near-field communication would be huge in this. But Samsung is purporting that this is going to go down next week, I think on the 12th. So if you've been waiting for a new Google phone, a pure Google phone, this is forthcoming. Hey, you want to see an amazing time-lapse video? I have it linked up in the show notes for you. It's from Gizmodo. It is absolutely awesome. And it must have been getting a lot of hits today because it took a long time to completely load, but it's well worth the watch. I'll have you link up in the show notes for you on this. Hey, there's a great article, and I really didn't think about this too much in the past, but now I think about it more, I realize that small businesses are really getting hammered if they're not in anywhere in Google. And so this article, and this is another site, and this is a site I'm going to add to my permanent read list here, elevatelocal.co.uk, 3 articles in one night from this site alone. But he says here in his article, how many times have you heard the phrase content is king? He says, before we talk about this, I have a few questions. Number one, is Joe Blow, who runs a local locksmith business, a locksmith or a content creator? Well, I think we could all agree he's a locksmith. Number two, should Joe Blow invest his valuable time feeding the beast, aka Google, with good content, or should he concentrate on what he knows best, being a locksmith, opening locks, etc.? I think he should do it opening locks. Number three, if Joe Blow does not have time or the resources to produce good content, does that mean that he is a bad locksmith and therefore doesn't deserve to get found on the first page of Google? Huh. I never thought about that because I run a digital business and I expect to be found on my search terms. But if I'm a service business like a locksmith or windshield repair or something like that, it is a good issue that unless you have someone hired to blog daily about locksmithing and unlocking cars and crime rates and everything like that, you probably will not be found, largely not found by the Google machine. How many of you out there, I know of one person here in Hawaii who's got, and he's a blogger, and they write all original content, and they got hammered by these Google changes in the algorithms, and undeservedly so, because the content that they put out is all original, nothing is machine, you know, they don't have writers, their staff does it. They don't pay someone in India to do their writing $2 an article or something. But, what if you don't do that? How many of you that are business owners that listen to the show have been impacted because people can't find your business in Google when they search locksmith in your neighborhood and your competitor comes up because he's got a blog and you don't? It is an interesting dilemma here. And really the title of this is Google, the Small Business Serial Killer. And I think, you know, this is a good point. It makes you go, Google says, Jeremy Stoppelman presented his case against Google in the latest Senate antitrust hearing. He says, Google is no longer in the business of sending people to the best source of information on the web. It now hopes to be a destination site itself for one vertical market after another, including news, shopping, travel, and now local business reviews. It would be one thing if these efforts were conducted on a level playing field, but the reality is they are not. The experience in my industry is telling Google forces review websites to provide their content for free to benefit Google's own competing product. not consumers, Google then gives its own product preferential treatment in Google search results, which might be true. He uses the example of a barber in Madison, Wisconsin. And Google always present links to its own consumer review website in the most prominent position, regardless of whether the algorithm has determined that it is the most relevant content or not. So kind of an interesting statement there. So good write-up by elevatelocal.co.uk. So what's your experience? Love to hear your input on this. Geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline, of course, at 619-342-7365. A good article here, Fix Your Brain, How Your Brain Could Fix Your Diabetes. Well, they've been able to implant brain cells into a rat pancreas, which was successful treatment for diabetes. Yes, you heard that correct. They implanted the rat's own brain cells into that rat's pancreas, and it was a successful treatment for diabetes. Tomoko Kubars and his colleagues at AIST Institute in Tsukuba, Japan, extracted neural stem cells from the hippocampus of rats, then injected them directly into the animal's pancreases. The rats, which had been engineered to exhibit symptoms of diabetes, showed lower blood sugar levels, a good thing since diabetes can dangerously increase blood sugar levels, after the brain cell injection. The science tested their theory that the animal's neuronal cells were pumping out insulin by removing them, after which blood sugar levels went back up. So this is an interesting thing here. It's a little bit, makes me go, whoa. But at the same point, wow, because this could be big. And the people, they're pretty excited about this. So in Japan, I don't know what kind of regulations they got going on about how many people, you know, when they can do studies and stuff. But I think this is something so many people are affected here in Hawaii. We have a diabetes epidemic. We really do. It's horrible. Okay. Bose, I like Bose in my car and on my, in my home, but I don't know if I want a Bose headset on my ear. Bose has put together the Blue Headset Series 2. I just don't know about having a Bose on the side of my head. $150 price point. You knew it wasn't going to be cheap if it come from Bose. Anyway, there's your Bose headset for your ear, for your mobile device. Give me a break. Okay. FCC chairman, this is big. He announced end telephone subsidies, build broadband. Oh, this is wonderful. The overhaul of an outdated U.S. federal communication program that subsidizes telephone service in rural areas will lead to universal available broadband service in the U.S. by the end of the decade, FCC Chairman Julius Janoski said. Janoski's proposal to revamp the Universal Service Fund unveiled Thursday would transition the fund away from subsidies for traditional telephone service and toward broadband. The fund, with an annual budget of about U.S. $8 billion that we give the phone company for nothing anymore, hardly, would start paying for broadband development to areas now unserved in 2012. Janoski called this current U.S. system unfair and broken and scheduled a vote on his proposal for later this month. I tell you, my mom has had huge, huge, huge issues with her landline, which she still needs. And she really needs it because of her business. But she has had, the infrastructure is falling apart. So we'll see what happens with this. This is a great way to use the Universal Service Fund. So they're proposing the rule change. I'm sure AT&T and all those other folks are going to fight it. We'll see. With some speculation immediately after the Apple 4 announcement, the 4S announcement, that the reason that there's no iPhone 5 is basically the carriers weren't ready for the higher speeds. So they had to come in with this interim until the networks are ready for the much higher speeds. And that was the only reason that the iPhone 5 wasn't put on the market. So we'll see here if that proves to be the case or not. But that's speculation by Molly Rance, by Molly Wood over at CNET. Also, if you have a Borders account or had a Borders account, there's an FTC announcement telling how you can opt out of transfer of personal information to Barnes & Noble. So you have until October 15th to decide whether or not you want to opt out and having your personal contact information and purchasing history shared with Barnes & Noble. There's information here on how you can get it shut down. So if you don't want that data to be transferred, please link to that FTC bulletin and it'll be up there. Hey, and more exciting, and actually I forwarded this to my team, the Google TV Hunt and Comb update is overdue. And basically, they're saying 2 to 3 weeks before the rollout is ready. He said they say that Google TV has about 11. There are currently about 250 apps optimized for the Google TV. We got one of them. We're ready to go. And so I'm sure that it's going to explode overnight. But we're ready. We're dialed in. We've got everything published. It's got the right flags in it. So as soon as Google TV goes online, this show will be available via app via Google TV. So we cannot wait for this to come. So Android 3.1 Honeycomb update is coming to the set-top box and includes a whole bunch of new features, including USB support, hardware acceleration, and so forth. So that's forthcoming, and we cannot wait for it. Great article over on marketingconversation.com talking about digging deeper than the obvious blogger A-list. This is a great article by Chris Abrams. Chris is a friend of mine. You'll definitely want to read this, and it basically talks about long-tail blogger outreach and the value in it, and going beyond talking with A-list bloggers for promotions and outreach and so forth. This is where a lot of bloggers make a lot of money. The other thing too is that the mobile carriers are starting to say, hey, we're not going to be able to build enough spectrum, so we're going to have to start dropping Wi-Fi and all our towers and expand our Wi-Fi presence to really kind of bridge the gap in not having enough available over-the-air bandwidth. So it's being reported now, and this is a good article over at GigaOhm.com talking about how roaming is going to change in the next couple of years as carriers bring in more Wi-Fi offerings, specifically 802.11u, and being able to have longer range Wi-Fi that, so your phone, instead of being up on the standard carrier, will switch over into Wi-Fi mode, and you'll get essentially they'll free up some of their spectrum when they can. All right, the Nielsen ratings, the founder of the Nielsen ratings, Arthur C. Nielsen, he died as well. He died at the age of 92. And so that announcement was made, and a pretty remarkable story about this guy. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. But I believe he died a very, very wealthy man, selling his company back in 94 or something like that for a couple $1 billion. Also, there's a price breakdown if you want to see how much the 4S is really going to cost on AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, individual plans, family plans. The folks at Engadget did a great job on this. It's the best write-up I've seen so far. Matter of fact, I printed this out and handed it to my wife because she's trying to figure everything out. And if she wants to switch to an iPhone, to an updated iPhone on a carrier that where she can get a data plan versus her T-Mobile phone. So that is not been working that great. But anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you. And also, if anyone has got I got a 3GS that I've got jailbroke, but I can't get it unlocked. If anybody has some skills, you know, I've geeked it as much as I can, and it's kicking my butt. So I'm probably doing something stupid. If you want to give me some, if you got 10 minutes, love to talk with you. I'm just doing something wrong, and I really want to get this carrier unlock on this 3GS that I have. Okay, Amazon also has updated the App Store Developer Portal pack for Kindle Fire. So basically, if you've got apps on the Amazon App Store, you can now start looking at the API to get them update. So when that device comes out here soon, you're going to be able to get the update. Hey, before we go, just as a reminder, and I didn't get it in earlier in the meeting, hey, try GoToMeeting. You know, mobile on the go. You know that you can use GoToMeeting with your iPad, with your iPhone, if you're Android. Doesn't matter where you're at anymore. You can use GoToMeeting. It's a great product. I've used it. GoToMeeting with HD Faces allow you to see the people you work with. And I recommend it. And I really want you to give it a try. I give you a 30-day free trial by going over to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. So definitely check it out. The link will be up on the show notes. You help the show out for every trial that you do, or, well, you can only do one because they register it, but And every trial that's done helps the show out a great deal. Give it a run for the money. Okay, real quick here, and we're long already. Got an email here from Ron. He said, here's a funny thing. Maybe not, but still, he says, the Anik F2 satellite suddenly ceased operating. He said, it's back on, but it also caused a lot of problems, including vote information. So there was voting going on in Ontario. So a Telesat satellite went down. Ron, I think your elections just got owned. So he says, this is a very convenient time. But there's articles up on the Globe and Mail and from Telesat. So I have the link up in the show notes from that. Hey, Ron, thanks for that. I appreciate that tip. Matter of fact, that was the thing I was looking for at the beginning of the show. Thanks for sending that over. Do you think that it was something conspiracy? Do you think the elections may have been, something happened there? Love to hear from you. Got an email from I don't want to say his name because I don't know if he's given me permission to and say his name on the show. He said, hey, Todd, thought you might be interested in this article. It looks like time to purchase shares in companies that make CPAP machines. He said, I have had a CPAP machine for over 1 year now and certainly improved the quality of my sleep. So for me, it's interesting to hear how you get on with yours. For me, your most interesting statement was about the return of dreams. So I can relate to this. It was only after I'd been using my machine for months that I realized I was having dreams. I really hadn't noticed I wasn't dreaming during the previous year, so it sure came as a surprise. He says, how do you get on when you travel? Are you taking your machine with you on overnight stays? Haven't traveled since I've been on it, but I'll be going with you. I'm going to carry it on. He said, I'm nervous about packing my machine and hold luggage, so it takes a chunk out of my hand luggage space allowance. What do you do? I'm just going to carry mine. And because I have a pull-behind bag, I use a computer bag with wheels, you're allowed to have one carry. Basically, you can carry two things. It's almost like a purse. So you have a personal item plus your carry-on. So that's how I'm going to do it. And I'm a multi-platinum flyer, so they really don't question what I carry on generally. But I can see where it would be a problem for other people. He says, it was interesting on my first year checkup to find out what they were able to interrogate the machine, find out about all your usage. Have you missed any nights? I haven't so far. How long do you use a machine per night? I'm usually a five-hour sleeper anyway. It's about 5 hours. He says, Big Brother watching in, it's easy to see how if you had a car accident and the machine said you hadn't used it the night before, how you could easily have an insurance problem. My insurance doesn't require me to do readings, so I doubt that they'll ever pull my card out, to be honest with you. Some insurance companies require you to. Got an email here from Andrew. He said, hey, Todd, although I just saw this, I had to share it. New solar cells for glass. And he has a link up in the show notes for that. Thanks, Andrew, for that. Got an email here from Frank. He says, the built-in Android browser is simply identified as internet in the icon list. If you select a link and open with opens up, it identifies the Android browser as a browser. I couldn't find an about on the menu, but there's nothing to identify it as Chrome. It is irrelevant to me. I use Opera. Okay, cool. And I got an email here from Chris. He says, hey, Todd, just listening to show 709. The GoDaddy online file folder is not a new product. I've been using it for over a year now, and it's a great product. I'm pretty full on my 100 gigs. I use it to back up critical files, and as a photographer, in my portfolio images, I like the integration with GoDaddy webmail products. You can save or add attachments to emails direct to from your online file folder storage. For some strange reason, GoDaddy hides this product amongst their email offerings. That's probably why it's not widely known about. Regards, Chris. Thanks, Chris. I think that's it. That's all. We're long. Everyone, thanks. I hope you liked my Steve Jobs coverage. I hope you liked the show tonight. Again, if you got comments about the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Thanks for being patient with me here, and we'll see you all on the Saturday morning tech show. I think we're good. I don't think I've got any conflicts. I think we're going to be on for Saturday, and I think we're going to do it in a Google Hangout this time. So if you're around at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, and you're on, you can probably jump in the Hangout with us and chat along. So just watch for me to pop the Hangout at just a few minutes before 9 Pacific, and you can jump in and be a participant. And I do this at least once a month. We might start doing it more. So it should be a lot of fun. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.